is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Russia and the sanctions regime, especially against high technology, high-end technology. We learn in recent articles at Defense One and at the New York Times that Russian officials or their surrogates are finding it straightforward, although circuitous, to obtain high-end chips for weapon-making, for technology, for manufacturing, using three states in particular, Armenia, Kazakhstan, and pick your Central Asian state, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, anywhere in the Caucasus, as a transit point for high-end technology. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide on these matters for many weeks. We have touched upon this before. As Michael said, that's globalization. But here it is on the front page of the New York Times, above the fold, and we're going to address the matter again. Michael, it is not true that Russia doesn't have to twist itself into a pretzel to get available technology for its weapon systems and its manufacturing. But they are successful. They're successful in a way that you've described them before. How do they do it, Michael? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Now there is in the world a new big business. The avoidance of sanctions or evasion of sanctions, lots of countries participate in it. It's a business worth between $100 billion and $150 billion a year now in the first quarter annualized for 2023. Lots of countries participate, and congratulations to the English language. Now there is a new expression in the English language, which will probably go to the Oxford Dictionary. It is called laundry countries. Laundry countries are those that are purchasing Russian crude oil, are immediately building new refineries, and reselling refined oil products to the very countries that impose sanctions on Russia. The European Union, Australia, Japan, and the United States of America and the United Kingdom are now spending $42 billion a year on buying refined oil products from the countries that they never bought refined oil products before. Singapore is a major now exporter of refined oil products, which are made from Russia. Now, a small country, Armenia, population 3 million, it's a small country, is now a major exporter of electronics and computer chips. Population 3 million. They increased in 2022 their exports and imports from the West and their export to Russia sixfold of electronics from the United States and more than threefold from the European Union. And 97% of all these big supplies, they resold to Russia. And that's how Russia gets the chips. Unfortunately, it's a sad story because these chips are used for weaponry and they're used to fight the war in Ukraine. But nonetheless, this is how it works. A small country, Armenia, and the Armenian diaspora, which is settled all over the world, are now found a new niche in the world business. So every country, India, Singapore, Saudi Arabia is now, United Arab Emirates, they're doing something on avoiding sanctions, either on the export side or on the import side.
The origin of some of these electronics, China. And China is reluctant to ship directly, as I understand, because they'll likely be sanctioned. So instead they sell to, let me guess how they does, Shanghai to Yerevan, and Yerevan then exports it to Russia. And there's no sanction on that chain? That can't be followed, Michael?
No, and mostly China sells to Kazakhstan, and Kazakhstan sells to Russia. They have a huge border. It's a border, and all the northern Kazakhstan are Russian-speaking, ethnic Russians, so they participate in all in this trade. Armenia purchases from the European Union, from France, where they have a huge Armenian diaspora, from the United States, and resells it to Russia. So every country finds its niche there, and they're all participating in this business.
You mentioned oil. The headline in the Wall Street Journal made me smile because it didn't occur to me that the oil sanctioning would lead first to India making money, then to China making money because they're getting a discount and then they refine it and sell it to Europe. But Saudi Arabia, UAE scoop up Russian oil products at steep discounts. Despite U.S. objections, goes the subhead, Wall Street Journal. Petroleum-rich Gulf countries are capitalizing on cut-rate prices. The people with all the oil are making money on this, and I'm presuming they're not being sanctioned. Is that correct, Michael?
They're not sanctioned. They're buying crude oil cheap at a discount, and they make refined products such as gas oil, which is known in the United States as heating oil or red diesel, two different names, the same thing, and diesel itself. And kerosene, which is a jet fuel, they're all making it out of Russian oil. So now the calculation is that 70% of Russian oil now goes to this to China, India, Turkey, and these countries. And they provide refined products to the European Union and the United States and all over the world. But remind you, the idea of the sanctions was not to reduce the supply of Russian oil and oil products. It was to reduce revenues for the Russian budget. So it works this way. So someone else is making money. United Arab Emirates, India, Cyprus, Singapore, they're making money. But the Russian budget, because of that, doesn't get this money.
There is one note, and you've cited it in the past, about shipping oil by tanker. You need to insure it. And the insurers outside of Russia are said to be reluctant because they can be sanctioned. There are insurers in Russia who will provide the same thing. That is said to be high risk. However, there's nothing tells me that Russia's afraid of risk. They're willing to buy old tankers, insure them with a Russian firm, and then ship them where? That's what they do at transfer at sea in order to sell, in order to repackage the oil. Is that how it works?
They do it, they mix oil, Russian oil with something else, with oil from Kazakhstan. Now it becomes non-sanctioned oil. And there is a special notice from the United States Treasury that if it is a mix, it is free of sanctions. Then in various ports in the world, the biggest is for this is Ceuta, C-E-U-T-A. On the north part of Morocco, near Spain, it's a Spanish territory jurisdictionally. That's where it's all reloaded. It goes to large tankers through the Suez Canal. It goes around the world. It goes to China. It goes to India. So the world picked up very quickly. And like I said, sanctions avoidance and adjustment and legal, part illegal, part in the gray zone. It works for everyone.
Right now, Michael, just because we're summarizing where we are in this, any of this right now is going to keep adapting, correct? No matter what you can do for sanctions regime, the Russian traders and the middle people will adapt to it and escape sanctions. Is that correct?
People are adapting, and of course, the United States and other Western countries are cracking down.
Right.
Cyprus, I mentioned, Cyprus is now in the forefront of that. They closed down 123,000 accounts of Russian citizens because Cyprus used to be a laundry country, and now they crack down. So, but other countries just tolerated.
Michael Bernstam, Hoover Institution. I'm John Bash.